What more can I do? What more can I do?
Lord, I'm your child.
Please use me.
Be me as you be.
Tell me, Jesus. Well, tell me,
what more can I do?
Tell me, Jesus,
what more can I do?
Well, Lord, I'm your child, please.
Use me as you be.
Tell me, Jesus,
what more can I do?
Lord, I'm your servant. I'm at your command. I want to be a good soldier just for you. As I go from day to day, I want to help somebody along the way. Tell me, Jesus,
what more can I do?
Well, what more can I do? What more can I do? Well, Lord, tell me, Jesus,
what more can I do?
Lord, I'm your servant. I'm at your command. I want to be a good soldier just for you. As I go from day to day, I want to help somebody along the way. Tell me, Jesus,
what more can I do?
What more can I do? What more can I do? Well, Lord,
I'm your child.
Please use me.
Use me as you please.
Well,
what more can I do?
When I woke up this morning, I saw a brand new day. I want to be a good soldier just for you. Whereas I go from day to day, I want to help somebody along the way. Tell me, Jesus,
what more can I do?
Well, tell me,
what more can I do?
Tell me, Jesus,
what more can I do?
Well, Lord, tell me, Jesus,
what more can I do?
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 I sing for you, Jesus.
What more can I do?
What more can I do?
What more can I do?
I pray for you, Jesus.
What more can I do?
What more can I do?
What more can I do?
I pray for you, Jesus.
What more can I do?
What more can I do?
What more can I do?
I sing for you, Jesus.
What more can I do?
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 Well, Lord, I'm your child.
What more can I do?
What more can I do?
What more can I do?
Let us pray. Father God, we come. We thank you, Lord, for this second Sunday in 2014. We thank you, God, because you've been so good to us. If the truth be said, you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. So, Lord, Father God, as we come and we seek your face one more time, Lord, that we would hear from heaven, Lord, that we would know what you would have us to do today. So speak, God. For God, if you don't speak, we won't know what to do. Heal us, God. Encourage us, God. For we're all going through something in our lives. And Lord, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for those members that are here. We thank you for visitors that come from different churches. We thank you, Lord, for those that yet are still looking for a church home, God. And Lord, Father God, we pray, Lord, that your spirit would reign today. That when we leave this place, we can truly say that our hearts have burned. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer, let the people of God say amen, 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 and amen. If you would rest on your feet, go to our scripture lesson today, found in 1 Kings, Old Testament, 1 Kings, chapter 18, and meet me at verse 21. When you get there, say amen. 1 Kings. Chapter 18, verse 21. You'll find these words are words similar as I read from the King James Version. Verse 21 says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. But Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose ye one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar that was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure, or perhaps he sleepeth, and he must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer, nor any that regarded. Last verse. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You may be seated in the presence of God, and we know his word is already blessed. Isn't that right? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh neighbor,
the answer,
the answer
is at the altar.
The answer
is at the altar. Isn't that good news today?
Amen.
That the answer is at the altar.
Amen.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Anybody found their answer at the altar?
Amen.
Amen. Now, when we think about that in the New Testament, as we come to the church and as we come and we kneel at the church altar,
amen,
amen, we pray and we ought to have the right mindset when we come to the altar. Because you know what I found sometimes, Minister Parker, that sometimes people come to the altar with their problems. Can I get a witness? They tell God all about their problems. Then they put it back over their shoulder and drag it right back to the seat. Can I get a witness? Now, in the Old Testament, the altar, amen, wasn't the type where you had some nice cushions and some wood. Can I get a witness? But that they had stone altars. Can I get a witness? And they were typically shaped and round. And it was a place of sacrifice. Come on, that altar was there that what we had sins and we needed atonement for our sins. And guess what? What we did was we took our sacrifices. Amen. And we just couldn't bring anything to the altar. Some of us just drag anything to the altar. But what we had to have a perfect sacrifice. One that was going to be acceptable to God. Can I get a witness? All the way through from Moses to Noah and on through, we saw the right type of sacrifices that had to be placed at the altar. But then later on, we found that the altar kind of changed in different places, that there was a bronze altar and a golden altar. But still, one of the things that we find at the altar was a sacrifice, but also a place of worship. When you bring your mess to the altar, you can worship. The reason why some of y'all ain't worshiping is because you still got your mess with you. You still worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Can I help you out? If the gas company said they're going to cut the gas off on Monday and you owe $600 and you don't have it, amen, you might well praise them today because it ain't going to affect the heat today. Can I get a witness, somebody? But see, we always put stuff ahead of what God can do. Do you know that God can send the mailman tomorrow? Can I get a witness, somebody? I've seen a time, and I've witnessed it with my own eyes, that they threatened to turn off somebody in the church's electricity, and they came to worship on Sunday, and God sent a blizzard on Monday. Amen. That blizzard lasted. Y'all remember that blizzard back a couple of years ago? 30 inches of snow. By the time it was so bad that guess what? That mayor that ain't have no common sense, he decided to dump the snow in a school kill.
Yes.
Oh, y'all ain't praying with me. Come on. They couldn't get to the ground to cut off the electricity. By the time they got around to cut the electricity off, they had the money they needed to pay the bill. Can I get a witness, somebody? And we come here with our pity parties. We come here complaining about things ain't right. But sometimes things are not right because, amen, we don't ask God to get us right. Can I get a witness? Because when God gets us right, then we're able to handle those things which are wrong around us, to the point that, guess what? The folks that used to gossip around the water cooler and cuss and fuss, now when you bring the presence of God with you, that it quenches that negative spirit. Can I get a witness that they be quiet when you come around? Because the ground that you walk on is holy ground. We look at this and we see that the answer is at the altar. Now, we've been talking for the last 3 weeks on the focus on what defeating discouragement. Because I found that a lot of folks, when they come to church, they come discouraged. Or sometimes when they don't come to church and know that they're saved, they don't come to church because they've been discouraged. And there's nothing like being discouraged to mess up your worship. It's nothing like being discouraged to keep you from reading your Bible, to keep you from praying, because you start asking yourself the same question all the time. Does it matter? Is it worth it? But I'm here to tell you it is worth it. We talked about first, about David, amen, and David had to encourage himself. Come on, David, what he experienced, the same calamities that everybody else is, but it's nothing like being a leader, because they blame you for all kind of stuff. Oh, y'all ain't praying with me. And folks look around, amen, and Second Antioch, and we wonder how come sometimes there's not a lot of people in church and the money is funny. Sometimes it's not enough of everything. But guess what? We just discovered, President Obama even discovered, that 50%, y'all ain't praying with me, in this area and in this neighborhood are unemployed. Oh, y'all ain't praying with me. 13%. Now, they say 13, and that's just 30% looking for a job. Amen. Can't find a job. Over 50%, 51% are in poverty in this neighborhood. 51%. So if you're in poverty, the last thing you want to do is come to church and hear some preacher say, give you 10%. Let's tell the truth. But I'm so glad that Pastor Stanley hit on that this morning. If anybody watched Pastor Stanley, he said, listen, the truth is, a lot of folks, when they complain about giving and they all get sour, some look at it, all of a sudden y'all lips start pruning up every time they talk about money. Amen. But he said, the reason why is your fault. It's not God's fault. You're the one that spent that money on them bills. You're the one that built up that debt. Now all of a sudden you put God on trial and get mad at the preacher because, look, the things don't get done. Amen. That's up to each and every one of us. I can only do my part, but you have to do your part. So David had to encourage himself before the Lord. But then the next thing that we learned, for some of y'all, don't feel bad because you weren't here last week, because I know you had to be safe, and I'd rather be safe than sorry. Now, y'all ain't praying with me. But guess what we preached last week? We preached last week, amen. Don't be discouraged. No, don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. Understand that. Never give up. Because, see, that's what Satan wants to do, amen. He wants us to give up. Because when we give up, amen, then guess what? We've given in. And just because it's difficult now don't mean it's always going to be difficult. And see, that's what Satan wants to do all the time, is he wants us to what? Give up. So when we look at this situation, we look and we see now this week the answer is at the altar. Now we find ourselves in an interesting situation, because now we've come across an interesting character in the Bible named Elijah. Now Elijah is an interesting character when we look at that, because of the fact that we see that if anybody had gotten to a point in his life that he wouldn't have given up, or he would have encouraged himself, but yet went through some discouragement. No matter what God had done in his life, you know, no matter how many victories you have, you will still face some discouragement. Can I get a witness? But one of the ways that we're going to deal with discouragement today is understand this in life. And this was going to help you. It's going to bless somebody out. That, listen, you need to work for the Lord all your life. Amen. From the time you get saved, you ought to be what? As fruitful as you possibly can. Can I get a witness? That as you are as fruitful as you possibly can, to be able to make sure that you do the things from even as a child. That means that you get on the ushers, you get on the choir, Come on, you get on some type of youth ministry. You go to the meetings. You produce a good work. Come on, sometime you serve tables. Sometime you help somebody across the street. Sometime you volunteer at different things. And what? You start building yourself up. That's what? That you do some positive things out in the world so that when you learn how to do those things that later on in life, because as you start to go, you think you got the world by the tail. Can I get a witness? You get good grades and you'll do all these things, but then once you graduate, hey, come on, because after a while you're going to graduate. Yeah. And then it's time to get a job, and you can't find a job, and nobody wants to hire you. And then you try to, if you find your value in your job, then you will get discouraged because you're either unemployed or, look, you're a good worker. Do you know there are good people out here that's looking for jobs? They can't find them. But sometimes you can get discouraged because, look, the jobs that they want to pay you, you like, look, that ain't going to help me. Oh, come on, somebody. And the ones that you want to, oh, we're not hiring right now. But what happens is that when you're able to look back in your down moments, and you can look back over your life from the time that you grew up, amen, to the time that you got to this first setback. Because you thought that because you had the degrees and you had did all these things for the Lord, that finally when you got to a place, everybody wanted you. Amen. You could pick your job. And then sometimes you would get discouraged. But listen, let me tell you, don't be discouraged. Because you ain't junk. Can I get a witness? You are not messed up. You are not defective. It's just that, guess what? You're going to have to work hard. That when after you work hard, that God has something in store for you. That when you finally get it, you'll be appreciative. And you know the value of helping others later on because they didn't have the help that you had. Oh, it's quiet in here. So let's look at this text. The first thing that we see here where the answer at the altar, it talks about the prophet's challenge. See, once you know what God can do, come on, you ought to be putting people to the challenge. Come on, you need to let them know because you have folks today, amen, that think that their gods are real. Do you understand that? They're superstitions. Come on, they're ways about going about things are the right things. And, you know, those things where if I get in trouble, amen, back in the day you used to call Sister Cleo. Come on, some of y'all wouldn't have a good day until you got a Daily News and opened it up and looked at your zodiac sign to see whether it was worth it today. Today you're going to meet a handsome man. Well, you're going to finally get that promotion. And guess what? No matter what that thing said, it was going to be whatever God wanted to be and not some zodiac sign. That's right, we put our hopes in all of those things. They can't talk. They can't do anything. They have no work. They have no value. But we put our hope in that. Amen. We'll call people and talk to them on the phone. And come on, and we'll buy all these things. And listen, I don't care how long you stand in that lottery line. Look at this challenge. You got to put God to the challenge. God said, I'm more than worth it. If you think that I'm real, amen, or you think that you're confused or concerned, put me to the test, God says. The problem is some of us are afraid to put God to the test. He is not the tooth fairy. He is not Santa Claus. He's not the Easter bunny. Can I get a witness, somebody? Trying to make sure no babies in here. Oh, no, I don't want to mess them up. Maybe that's the reason why some of our young people today don't grow up in church. Because we've been giving them fairy tales and fantasies. Can I get a witness? And then later on when they get of age, whatever that age is, they start to realize what you were selling them ain't true. Then all of a sudden they say, well, guess what? I've been coming to church too. Maybe those folks that shouting and saying amen and coming and doing all that other stuff and really that there is no really hope or promise at the end of the rainbow. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, you hype them up. You won't stand in line if the church is closed, amen. They say, oh, church must not going to happen today. But guess what? You'll stand in line, come on, around the block. Waiting for a fat white man in a red and white suit to take a picture with your baby while he crying the whole time. But let the church be open 10 minutes late. Well, that's a sign from the Lord. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody out today. Elijah came unto the people and said, how long are you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. Can I get a witness? That's how we got to get now. We got to start being effective in our witness. Do you know the only way the church grows is that we open up our mouths and we tell people what God has done in our lives legitimately, not no fake testimonies or test of lies, but tell them, I should have lost my mind. I could have given up all hope, but I got down on bended knee. Amen. I called on the name of the Lord, and even though I was hurting, even though I was in pain, even though I didn't want to wake up in the morning, I trusted God. I called on him. He helped me. He brought me out. He didn't make me forget my problems, but he let me know he was greater than my problem. So I hung in there for a little while longer. Somebody got to stand on their hind legs and say, I trust God. I know that he's able. Why don't you put him to the test? I'm not afraid. I know what the outcome's going to be. How long are you going to be between two opinions? The problem with the church today is we got two opinions. We got folks that's faking the funk. Amen. Amen. They saying hallelujah on Monday and cussing people out Monday through Saturday. Come on, they drinking communion juice on first Sunday and drinking other juices the rest of the week. Can I get a witness? Amen. Now they want to have nice vacation to go to Colorado so they can smoke their mind away. Can I get a witness? But I'm here to tell you that if you want to get high, get high on the Holy Ghost. Because when you come down off of that, you don't have no hangover. You don't have no schizophrenia. You don't have a messed up mind. But each day with Jesus will be sweeter than the day before. This government don't care about you. They want more money from you. If they can't get it through taxes, now all of a sudden they tax your water runoff. Can I get a witness? Then they put a casino down there in North Philly or Fishtown. Now they're going to put one downtown. Can I get a witness? Take more money from you. They don't care about you. After a while, they see how much money is being sold and pot in other states. They'll bring it to this state. Can I get a witness? And they say, oh, it's just a downer. Yeah, it's going to be a downer, amen, to listen, somebody be coming up in here hearing voices talking about hit somebody upside their head. And guess what? I'm saved, but I know how to lay hands just as well. Can I get a witness, somebody? How long are you going to be between two? He said, if you follow Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Do you know your condition will show where you are? Come on, when you stuck on something and when somebody reads you, writes you, come on, somebody, and you have no comeback because they just told you right where you are. And your silence will be evident because guess what? What's in you is going to come out or ain't coming out. So they were convicted and they were quiet in their conviction. They said not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only. Remain a prophet unto the Lord. Now, he was wrong right there. He wasn't the only prophet. Come on, he needed to pay attention. Because if you read ahead before that, you'll find out, amen, that there was about 100 more prophets. 50 were hid in one cave, 50 were hidden in the other for their protection. Oh, y'all ain't praying with me. But sometime in that, what makes us discouraged is that we feel as though we're out there by ourselves.
God, you put me here. And I'm here by myself, and I can't do this. I'm by myself, and look, and the numbers are great. Look at this. It says, I am here by myself, remaining the prophet of the war. But Baal's prophets are 450 men.
Notice he was right about 450 men, but then there was other 400 prophets. 850 prophets. He thought was one. Don't get caught up in that. If you got to stand by yourself, If God tell you the right thing to do, amen, you do the right thing. If your whole block is whack and doing everything wrong, amen, that don't mean, oh, well, let me get with the program. Let me, come on, get with the times and do all this other stuff. No, God ain't in that. Amen. If you got to stand by yourself, amen, because one day everyone is going to give an account for what they've done, right or wrong. They will have to answer before the Lord. And he don't want to hear what everybody else was doing it, God. So I guess I did it too. Let them, therefore, give us two bullocks. Do you see the challenge? He said, okay, you want to do this? We can do this. We're going to have two bullocks. One for me, one for you. And let them choose the bullock. Because you know us, you know, when you go first, you usually choose the best one, right? The one that's going to burn the best, the one that's going to smell the best. So he said, you know what? Because I'm not afraid of this situation. Listen, I'll let you go first. Because, see, when you make your own idols, your idols can't speak. Your idols can't help you. Can I get a witness? And they will abandon you in a time of trouble. Can I get a witness? They will rust away. They will rot away. They will be taken away. Come on, ask DeSean Jackson. You go on vacation, they'll say, thank you, $250,000. Amen. You can't take it with you? Amen. I'll never forget when I heard about that DeSean Jackson situation. Reminded me of a woman that, you know, she was at the cemetery after a funeral, and her, amen, she was a young lady and had married this old elderly man. And she was at the grave site and she was crying. Amen. This man decided because to try to defy the world. And you know, when they say you can't take it with you when you leave. So he decided that he was going to be buried in his Bentley. So they took the Bentley and built a big, come on, hole in the ground. And as they were lowering that Bentley into the ground, she was just crying. And the lady behind her said, oh, that's a shame. And he said, yeah, she really loved that Bentley. Y'all got to pay attention this morning. He said, don't put any fire underneath of it. What we're going to do is we're going to call a challenge that what? Guess what? Once you dress that altar and get it all ready, amen, what you want to do is we're going to let you call on your God first, and let's see if he can rain down fire from above and see what happens. Can I get a witness? Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, he's not the only one that have challenges. Joshua 24, verse 15 said, if it seemed evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers serve that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I get a witness, somebody? Come on, you got to put a challenge. Preachers, y'all don't realize it, but whenever you read Malachi 3, that is a challenge. Malachi 3 verse 10 said, what, bring ye your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house? And here it says, and here's the challenge, and prove me now herewith. That prove means put me to the test. Try me, see if I'm all that I say that I am. He said, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Can I get a witness? God said, listen, you think you're doing something for me, but you really don't. Be how are you going to do something for me when I own everything? So I just loaned it to you. You gave a little bit back to me. And then because you gave it back to me, I decided that I'll give back to you more than you can even carry. Come on, that you can hold. Amen, that you can maintain. Can I get a witness? God is that good. Elijah pointed out that the contrast, the odds would be what? 850-1. A humanly impossible situation in which to win. Elijah knew that there were other prophets of Yahweh besides himself. But as far as this contest was concerned, he was the only one of the Lord's prophets he thought was left. But he's not. Can I get a witness? Be careful when you're going through and you're discouraged. The second thing that we see are the prayers to the false god. Come on, you better be careful who you praying to. Can I get a witness? Because some of y'all are praying and y'all don't even realize y'all praying to those things that can't help you. Can I get a witness? It said, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods and put it under no fire. And they took the bullock which was given them and dressed it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which they made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Can you imagine that? If it was today, he'd be like, do you want to use my phone? Because you know that T-Mobile service ain't working out here. Can I get a witness? Maybe he can't hear you. Come on, maybe he's talking to somebody else. Maybe something else is going on. Can I get a witness? He said, do you need some help? They got so upset. Amen. The Bible says that they said, well, we know if he can't hear us, maybe he can smell us. They started cutting themselves. Come on, the blood was all over the place, making a spectacle of themselves. They said, if we do all of this, if we just do all of these things to try to get attention, amen, that our God will come and help us. Come on. We don't go to that extent, but some of us do act like that sometimes. If I just complain loud enough, if I put up a fuss long enough, that everybody will stop everything that they're doing. Can I get a witness? Let me help you out. Before you call Pastor Knock on the phone and ask him to pray for you, pray for yourself. Can I get a witness? You know, some folks will spend all this time, this is a difficult situation. I've got a family member that I really love. I've got this hopeless situation in my life, and the doctors are giving me this prognosis or diagnosis and all of this stuff. And then, Pastor, will you just pray for me? Did you pray for yourself? Did you call on God? Come on. Or did you rub that rabbit's foot? It didn't help the rabbit. It ain't going to help you. Amen, somebody. Amen. You can't carry that horseshoe around no more. Come on. You can't get through the airport security with that horseshoe. Come on. That metal detector will, excuse me, could you come over here? You can't go to the courtroom with that. They'd be like, what's this? Well, you know, I had a case today, and I figure I'd bring my horseshoe with me just in case. They leave that right at the front door. Can I get a witness? You can bring it. We'll sign it in and we'll give it to you on the way out. But you can't bring that horseshoe into this courtroom. Y'all laughing, but some of the things that we look at. And it came to pass, amen, when it was midday, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. And that there was neither voice, listen to this, nor answer, nor any that regarded. Be careful. Don't make your car your God. That car will not start. Come on. You'll go out there looking for it, and that car will be gone. That car that, you know, it deserves two parking spaces so nobody will scratch it up. Oh, y'all ain't praying with me. That when it snows, come on, you got to put your baby under a blanket. Come on, you'll put stuff outside the garage so that car could be. Oh, come on, somebody. You'll come out there, if it got a scratch or a smudge, look, you've memorized every portion of that car. But yet your house is being neglected. Your bills are not paid. Your family has turned their back on you, but you got your car. Come on. You ain't took a bath in a month, but your car is clean all the time. Hallelujah, somebody. It's tight, but it's right today. Amen. He let them pick their bull, right? Remember that? Each side will prepare to sacrifice its bull to a burnt offering to its God. They would each call on their God. And the answer, and the God who answered by fire would be shown to be the what? True God. Yeah. Baal was supposed to be a fertility god and the one who sent rain, but yet they was in a famine. Oh, he was helping a lot, wasn't he? Because the crops would not grow and provide food for the people. He was the one who was supposedly sent lightning from heaven. Come on. There was a 3.5-year drought, and famine had been a great embarrassment to the worship of Baal. It seemed as if Elijah and his God, rather than Baal, were in control of the fertility of Israel. So Elijah put Baal's followers to a test. All morning, they called upon God and danced around his altar to rouse him in action. There's nothing worse, amen, than going to some party outside of here and seeing folks that sit in church, won't move, but then when they get to the other party. I was understanding because, you know, you up in age. Come on, you know, arthritis and everything. You know, you brought your cane to church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then all of a sudden, you go to the reception for the wedding. Oh, Jesus. The beats start banging. Come on. You hear your favorite song. Hey. Amen. All of a sudden, you find some rhythm. I used to think that Brother Rice was stiff, but then I learned he could do the bop. He could teach you how to do the bop. Can I get a witness? He just went. And I said, go ahead with your pants out there. And some of us sit in church. And we get it wrong in church. Isn't that right? This is a time when you can call on God and nobody look at you like you're funny. The problem with church folks today is we're quiet when we should be making noise. And we making noise when we should be quiet. Can I get a witness? If God has done something for you, it's okay to come to church and say, thank you, Jesus. People shouldn't look at you strange when you come to church and say, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. He's worthy. I can testify. Say it, Reverend. Tell it. Come to church and it's like, don't wake up, Sister Smith. Y'all ain't praying with me. Now, it's not all about just jumping around to be jumping around, but when you think of the goodness of Jesus and you think what he equipped you to do and what he did for you, that when you didn't have, he held back some things from happening to you. Amen. He protected you when you were unprotected. Amen. And then when somebody went to challenge you, he provided the resources to make sure he protected you when you needed to be protected. Oh, y'all ain't praying with me. Amen. God closed your mouth when you was in a situation where you could have got hurt and you couldn't think of anything to come back till they left. But then you realized that they were carrying a weapon after they left, and God kept your mouth closed and they smacked their teeth and called you a punk and everything else. But God just saved your life. Can I get a witness? Then later on, God set it up. Amen. That he found favor with your resume. You weren't the smartest person. There were other people that were smarter than you. But God used your resume, amen, to put it in the right hands, that somebody saw it and said, I want you. I don't know why, but the power of the Holy Ghost worked that thing out. Somebody else could have got your spot in school. But God made it possible for you to get in. Nothing worse than blowing opportunity. You better get it while you're young, because the older you get, the more life gets complicated, the more things get on top of you. And even if you got to stay in another year, you may not graduate summa cum laude, but thank you, Lord, it will do at a graduation. Can I get a witness? We've got to look at this. They're calling on the wrong names. Surprisingly, Baal's prophets responded by increasing the fervor. When we don't hear from God, we get quieter. Jacob said, I ain't letting you go till you bless me. He wrestled with the angel all night long. The angel said, "What is your name, man?" He said, "I ain't letting go." He said, "My name is Jacob. Come on, I'm the one, the heel snatcher. So I ain't letting go." Look, and then God touched his hip, made him walk differently. Then after he touched his hip and made him walk differently, amen, he changed his name. He said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but your name will now be Israel." You need to know who you're calling. But then lastly, because I need to help somebody as I take my seat, there's only one verse left, so y'all can calm down. The proof from God. Some of y'all are still sitting there waiting for proof from God, and he's still blessing you. Can I get a witness? If you went to bed last night and you woke up, that's proof that he loves you. Can I get a witness? Amen. Listen, that you had gotten into a bad frame of mind and you've even forgot to take your medication for a couple of days and you're still alive. That's proof that God still loves you. Can I get a witness? Amen. That crook, amen, it hit like five cars and broke into five cars on the block. And you the only one that left your pocketbook in there and he didn't hit your car. Can I get a witness? That's proof that he still loves you. You left your front door open, thought you had closed it. Because you rushed in because you had to go to the bathroom. Can I get a witness? And then you got settled in because the phone rang and everything else. That door stayed open all night long and nothing happened. That's proof that he loves you. Come on, somebody left a roast in the oven all night long and forgot all about it, even dreamed about roasting your sleep. Can I get a witness? Then at 6 o'clock in the morning, it was the most burnt roast you've ever seen in your life, but the house didn't burn down. That is proof that God still loves you. The fact that you sit here today in church, where you could have been 10,000 other places on a Sunday morning. You could have been out there shooting a basketball. Can I get a witness? You could have been sitting there recovering from, a wild night out. Can I get a witness? And you don't even remember who you was with. Amen. If you ain't lived till you, I'm going to go down somebody's street, that you did so much bad stuff that you don't even know how you got home. That's a terrible thing to wake up in your bed and don't remember how you got home and got it in your bed. Yeah. And it's even worse if you roll over and somebody you don't know is in the bed with you. Oh, yeah, I went there. I went there. I went in. I went in, God. I'm sorry. I repent. Listen to how the proof worked this way out. It says Elijah came unto the people. He said, "Come near to me." And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Come on. Baal's prophets hollered. 450 prophets hollered all night. Nothing happened. Check this out. Elijah repaired the altar which was torn down and set up a stone to represent each of the tribe of Israel. The altar represented the Lord of Israel. To make things more impressive, he dug out a trench about the altar, then placed his ox on the wood. Then in a drama causing the people suspense to mount to make it the harder for God's people to answer, he commanded that water be poured on the offering and the wood, even spilling over. He did not stop till 12 pitchers were emptied and the trench itself was filled. Because you know what? These folks would have said, "Oh, we did all the hard work and finally that was our gods. Come on our heat that came down that did the work." So he poured water all over the place. Notice that you saw 12 stones. Come on, 12 pitchers of water as a symbol. Minister Suswell, 12 is the one of the perfect numbers in the Bible, mainly because the 12 tribes of Israel following the Exodus, Moses built 12 pillars on Mount Sinai. 12 spies were sent to spy out the land. 12 stones were set as a memorial after crossing the Jordan River. 12 stones were attached to the breastplate of the priestly garments bearing the names of the 12 tribes. In Exodus 39, verses 8 through 14, the temple involved 12 in the measurements and the furnishings. In the New Testament, the records the number 12 many times. Jesus speaks his first words in the Bible at the age of 12. Later, he chooses 12 disciples, patterned after the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 baskets of fragments were collected after Jesus fed 5,000. Oh, y'all going to help me one of these days. Amen. In the book of Revelation, says that there were 12 gates to the 12 cities, 12 angels as gatekeepers, and the names of the 12 tribes were written on the gates. The gates were 12 pearls, and the wall will be 12 foundations which bear the names of the 12 apostles. The measurements of New Jerusalem also involve the number 12 in its measurements. Come on, at the altar. I said at the altar. There's an answer at the altar. Elijah was able to prove that Yahweh was truly the God among false gods. He was King of Kings and he was Lord of Lords. When we know the proof, what is the proof? I'm glad you asked me the proof. Because when they got to the altar, after they had soaked the altar, then Elijah called out to God. And the Bible said a fire came down from heaven. Amen. It was no ordinary fire. Amen. But it was a consuming fire. It consumed up everything that was on the altar. Then not only was that, amen, that type of fire, no longer was it a coming fire. No longer was it a consuming fire, but it was a convincing fire. Amen. Elijah didn't play with magic. He showed them that this is what God can do. How do you know it? Because at first, it says, all says, gasping with wide eyes and astonishment. Right before their eyes was evidence. God had won the battle of the gods. Then smitten by proof, they fell prostrate in the presence of the victor. Baal had done nothing and had more time and did absolutely nothing. But God had done it all and did it in a quick answer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't know about you, but one day I was sliding on some black ice. That car was spinning around, amen, and I didn't have time to say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. All right. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, whither can I go? Father, it's now me, now and once again. I didn't have time for that. I said, God, save me. Can I get a witness, somebody? And he worked it out that when I finished spinning, I was facing forward and nothing had happened to me. We got to put God to the test. Maybe that's the reason why some of us are depressed, amen, and oppressed. Amen, and going through all this discouragement because you haven't put God to the test. Well, guess what? That ends today. Can I get a witness? Before you leave this church today, you need to be convinced that you need to say, Lord, I'll live for you and I'll die for you. Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what happens. Satan, you are a liar. You're a father of lies. You don't love me. You don't care about me. You just want me to stay the same way I've been saying. But I'm going to read my word, God. I'm going to live for you, God. I'm going to serve in 2014 the way you want me to serve. I'm stuck listening to folks that ain't doing nothing, telling me what I need to do. But I'm going to go to you, God. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to ask for godly people to come into my life and show me. Because the answer is at the altar. Bring your problem to the altar. Tell God all about it. And God will send the answer that while you're yet praying, the answer will be on the way. Let us rest on our feet today. The answer is at the altar. I know you love your mother and father, but guess what? Sometimes they don't have all the right answers. They're human, just like you're human. And they can have all the love for you, but sometimes they can give you bad advice. Can I get a witness? But the answer is at the altar. I know your friends, amen, they love you and they want the best for you. But guess what? Some of them in worse situations than you in. And you call on them and ask them, do I do this? Do I do that? And they can mess you up more than that. And don't let your family and your friends, don't let family lead you in a way away from God. If they want to do what they need to do, let them do what they got to do. Can I get a witness? But make sure that you come to the altar, because the answer will be at the altar.